The last time I talked to you guys was in the midst of the Giants playing a series on the road against the Phillies, where they were 12-5. And even at that time, I had still so much hope and optimism as far as how the team was going. And as we now have played a full month of baseball, and the Giants still overall in pretty good shape, 19-13. They are currently in the midst of their worst stretch of the season, losing three in a row, which is their longest losing streak so far this season. They were swept in San Diego in a brief two-game series, and then they came home to play the lowly Colorado Rockies, and they lost 4-3 at home. And absolutely played down to the worst team in all of baseball. And I think enough time has passed, even with it still being, very early in the season. I think it's time we start calling some people out because there has been some unacceptable performance on this Giants team. And today we're going to focus on the hitting side of things. I'm your host, Darius Lott. And this is Second and King.
Welcome to Second and King.
From high, it's a deep, it is out of here.
Your one-stop shop for everything San Francisco Giants.
And there's a shot, deep right field by Crawford. Adios, pelota!
And now, here's your host, Darius Lott.
Yes, that is right. I am back for another edition of Second and King. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Your host, Darius Lott, here. And yeah, going back to like what I said in the intro, things were going pretty well. I mean, I guess they still are, but I think enough time has gone by where we can kind of focus in on some of the deficiencies with this Giants team, because while they still have a nice record of 19-13, they still have one of the best bullpens in baseball. It hasn't been smooth sailing. Like, the Giants have had a lot of, close wins, a lot of come from behind wins, which are exciting, but it would be nice if there was a time where you can kind of just let this team, have a game where they feel like they've settled in a bit, like score some runs early, the pitching is strong throughout, and then, we wrap up and we go home, something like that. The Giants haven't had many games like that this season. I think one of the few games that they had was against Seattle in that opening homestand. I was actually at the game that I'm talking about, that where the Giants won 4-1 over the Mariners, and that game just felt like, even though the Giants, scored four runs and held the Mariners to one, they only won by three, it still felt like they did. It was kind of the prototypical way you draw it up for this Giants team. That's how we thought it would be: strong pitching, strong defense, get the hits, score the runs when you can. And then, yeah, walk away with a W. And for the most part, it's been there, but at the other times, it's been kind of rough. So, where to begin? Well, I really want to focus in, at least on this particular episode, on some of the offensive numbers. And I'm going to focus in overall on the team as a whole, but I'm also going to look at particular individuals that I feel enough time has passed, we're a month into the season where I think we can actually start calling some of these guys out and, just give our honest opinion about the poor performance on this team. So yeah, just going to get right into it right now. And I think I'll start with a guy in particular who at one time was seen as a very beloved Giant, and now is kind of looked at as an albatross right now, because he has not been particularly great in any facet of his game this year. And I'm talking about Lamont Wade Jr. And that kind of hurts to say as somebody who's a big fan of Wade, you know, what he meant to the Giants, especially in that 2021 season. He, you know, that was his breakout year. And he did some amazing things for that Giants team that year. Granted, he was mostly in there against against right-handed pitching. They didn't want him to face lefties, but batted over 250, a 320 on base, slugged over 400 and 800 OPS with a 117 OPS plus. Like, he was one of those dynamic players, a part of a really fun Giants team. Well, it hasn't been particularly fun this year for Wade. And when you look at these numbers, they're just, they are so rough, man. Like, 123 batting average, I believe. He's got a 250 on base percentage. He's slugging well, like, he's slugging below 300. He's got like a 235 slugging percentage, OPS in the 400s, and an OPS plus of 42. Like, that's so bad. Like, that is awful stuff. Like, I can't even believe that I read those stats, and those are actually his stats. I don't know if this factored in last night's game with the Rockies, but man, it's not good. It is not good. The on base being like a 250 is absolutely putrid. Like, this was a guy who was lauded for his ability to get on base, and so far this season, it has not been there. It has not been there at all. It is, you know, in fact, his walk rate is down. Like, his walk rate is down and his strikeout rate has ballooned. Like, he's sitting at a strikeout rate of, you know, 26%. And his walk rate is 14%. So, it's really, like, rough. You know, watching Wade go out there and just struggle. This was a guy that they envisioned being a bigger part of what they were going to do this year. He was going to be the leadoff man. They moved Jung-Hoo Lee to the three hole, and they were going to use Wade at the top of the lineup, you know, get the most out of his on-base abilities, you know, to kind of help this offense generate some runs. And that experiment, which I wasn't a particular fan of to begin with, didn't last very long at all. In fact, when the Giants went on that road trip, you know, the big long East Coast road trip that saw them go to New York, Philly, that's where the experiment ended. April 11th, they just, you know, they went with Yaz. Yaz has been the go-to leadoff man against right-handed pitching since then, you know? And that was just was that even a week into the season? Maybe? Yeah, just about, maybe a little over, but yeah. They just couldn't do it anymore. He's been moved down to the lineup. He's typically hitting like seventh. And he still hasn't found any footing as of the time of me recording this. It's been just one, you know, disappointing game after another. Like, his good games, if he ever has any, are few and far between. And that brings up the question of what do the Giants do at first base, because they're kind of in a tough spot. Casey Schmidt was getting some time at first base. He was, you know, he's not too familiar with the position. He's typically second, shortstop, and third base. But given his athletic ability, him playing first didn't seem too crazy. And I would think with Wade's struggles that Casey Schmidt would be a easy candidate to slot in and play first base if the Giants need an upgrade. Well, unfortunately, Casey Schmidt is currently on the IL. I believe he has an oblique injury and no timetable as of yet for his return. And that hurts the Giants because now they're one option short in terms of how they can improve at the first base position. They did bring back David Villar, added him back to the 40-man and called him up. But, you know, he is a guy who, with all respect, but he hasn't quite proven what he can do at the big league level over a long stretch of time. So he's kind of a wild card. So you start wondering about what options do the Giants have in terms of first base. And one that comes to mind that's in-house is Jake Lamb, currently in Sacramento with the Rivercats. He is 34 years old, but a lot of big league experience. He won't, you know, he's got, I would say he probably right now would give you a better at bat than Lamont Wade Jr. right now, and he would definitely play better defense. That's another thing I forgot to note is Wade is playing some abysmal defense at first base. I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but yeah, it has not been pretty to watch this man in the field. He's let a few balls get by him, like few eat him up. He has trouble picking short hops out of the dirt. It's rough all the way around for Lamont Wade Jr. and the Giants. So yeah, Jake Lamb is another potential option. You know, they can look to in terms of how they can improve production at first. Another option, but this is kind of means the Giants would just have to be patient and we still, you know, it'd still be a while. He's still a ways away, but Gerard Encarnacion, you know, he was going to get a lot of opportunity this year. And first base was one of the positions where he could definitely fill in at. But unfortunately, you know, he had the fractured hand in spring, which means he wasn't able to start the season with the Giants. He's been hanging around like the clubhouse and everything as he, you know, continues to rehab and get better, and hope to see him very soon. But I can tell you right now, he would be a very welcome change at first base over what we're getting right now with Wade. And Wade is so bad that you can put him in the category of a potential DFA candidate. And I know there are some Giants fans who may not like hearing me say that, but that's kind of where it's at right now. He's been that bad. He's been that bad that when somebody is ready to come off the IL, you look to him as the first person that, you know, the Giants might cut ties with because of how bad he's been. And he's on an expiring deal, so it kind of, it makes sense in that regard. But yeah, those are some of the numbers and what the Giants could do in terms of first base. I know people are wondering, well, hey, Darius, you didn't talk about Bryce Eldridge. I don't think Bryce Eldridge will come up in a spot like this because I think that Posey and the Giants made it pretty clear. They didn't say it outright, but I think the plan is they want a full season of Bryce, you know, at AA, see if they can get him up to Sacramento, and then he could find his way onto the big league club in September. I was pretty confident that he sees the big leagues at least in September when the rosters expand. I still think that's a good possibility, but we will see. He just got back on the field, did Bryce. He was dealing with a wrist injury, during spring and in the early part of the season. So just having him healthy, getting him out there, getting him some at-bats, some playing time is the most important thing. You do not want to rush and potentially ruin this man's development. So I'm not even considering Bryce Eldridge right now. Not that I wouldn't want him, but right now there are more pressing issues. And you do have a few other options. They're not the greatest options, and they probably don't sound as nice as Bryce, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, this was an area of need that I think a lot of us were looking to for the Giants to actually improve upon, and they didn't really do that. I was a big component of having, like, acquiring somebody like a Spencer Steer who can play first base, or maybe you sign a veteran like Carlos Santana. You know, he's got a pretty decent bat, plays, you know, elite defense at first base even for his age. But you know Pete Alonso was out there for forever, but didn't sound like the Giants were interested in a short-term deal with a high AAV. That just wasn't something that was in the cards. But yeah, this is what we're stuck with, unfortunately. You know, they didn't want to block Eldridge's path, but I don't think anybody here would, you know, would be at all sad if they decided that Bryce is the guy. But we will see. I don't expect it to happen, but yeah. So that's one player of note that has been pretty awful for the Giants. The next one is the reigning Gold Glove winner at catcher, and that is Patrick Bailey. And while he still, you know, plays really solid behind the plate for the most part, not very good at blocking, but given the way that they have catchers set up these days behind the plate, who really is? But with the bat, it's a much different story. It is like super. This is even, I think it's still worse than Wade, honestly. And here on the Twitter page, Sleeper SF Giants, they have his offensive numbers, Bailey's, and with the quote after, "Is it time to be concerned?" This man is batting 155, no home runs, 9 runs batted in, a 435 OPS, a 23 weighted runs created plus of 23. A 400 OPS. Like, that is, like, that's not even playable. It's to the point where he, much like in the same breath as Wade, is an automatic out. You know, every time he steps to the plate, like, he had the walk-off hit in the Rangers series. And, you know, of course, he had the game-tying hit in Cincinnati on opening day. But other than that, it's been really, really bad for Patrick Bailey at the plate. And he is just constantly going up there and with almost, it seems like, without a plan. Like, he just goes up there and he flails at whatever these pitchers give him. And the pace that he's going at right now, he's in line for another, like, 100, you know, strikeout year. Like, he's had 100 strikeouts the last 2 seasons, and he's walked very little. Like, it's bad. Like, I can't even put this into words. And it's not just a small thing. This isn't just something that happened, that, you know, he's having just a tough time at this present moment. You know, it's actually been going on for quite some time with Bailey. Like, he has been in the doldrums, and he's been just having a really rough time at the plate, going back to last season. Like, this is not new, and it's really calling into question just how good he is, if he's good at all. Like, because in the time that I've seen Patrick Bailey, I have not noticed any real improvement from him at the plate. It's been that bad. He is just, he goes up there, he flails his bat, and he just strikes out, or he hits a weak ground ball. It's bad. It's bad. His numbers, I'm trying to pull them up right now, because he has been absolutely abysmal. Like, you think Wade is bad, and he has been bad, but Bailey has been even worse, and he's been even worse over a longer period of time. Last year, he had that long stretch in the second half where he couldn't buy a hit, and it feels like that has carried over into this season. And the same thing could also be said about Wade too. I know we already touched on him, but you know, he had a stint on the injured list last season, and he came back hitting 186 with a 296 on base, 323 slugging. Like, his strikeout rate and everything, like I said, like, it had, walk rate had fallen, K rate had risen. Just that's a long amount of time for a slump. That's an extended slump. And Bailey is experiencing the same thing right now. And the only thing that keeps him somewhat, you know, I don't even want to say impactful or valuable, but a plus to an extent on this team is his defense. You know, the framing, you know, I know a lot of people roll their eyes when they hear that, but you know, he can still use some strikes. He has that cannon arm. He picked someone off leaning a little bit too far towards second last night, and he can control the run game. But outside of that, he doesn't give you a whole lot, and he's not giving you a whole lot right now. And it's to the point where some people, and I tend to agree with them, might think, well, what if we gave Sam Huff a bit more, you know, a bit more run? And I don't think that they'll do it, but it's something I'd like to see. I mean, Sam Huff, as I record this, is scheduled to start tonight behind the plate, so we will see. He's definitely got a lot better numbers than Bailey has right now. So it couldn't hurt. The only thing that hurts you is defense, you know, takes a massive hit with Huff. And guys tend to run hog wild on Sam Huff. So if there happen to be any teams out there that have some burners on their team, and the Giants are starting Sam Huff, that's probably your cue to just run whenever, you know, anybody gets on. It doesn't matter. Just take off and run. They're probably going to do that. And I'll tell you what doesn't help matters is over in Pittsburgh, Joey Bart having a pretty good year. He's hitting like, what, 290, and he's got an 800 OPS. Like, that hurts. You know, that was a guy who, even when we had drafted him and I was excited about the potential of Joey Bart, he was seen as the next guy in line after Buster Posey. And for one reason or another, Farhan Zaidi and his regime did not see him that way. So they quickly pivoted and drafted Bailey. Bailey kind of came in, usurped him. And then eventually, you know, Joey was, you know, DFA'd and wound up with the Pirates. So, yeah, I'm not going to say, like, I clamor for Joey Bart. Joey definitely came with his share of issues, too. But Joey, I never thought, got the the opportunity to really show what he can do. It just felt like the prior regime just had their mind made up about him without really doing a lot to help him or to just develop him. So, but this isn't an episode about Joey Bart, but I just wanted to throw that comparison in there. Another thing that saves Bailey is the Giants don't have any real options behind him. Yeah, like I mentioned, Sam Huff, Tom Murphy, who spends more time on the IL than he does on the baseball field, you know, in his Giants tenure. I don't even want to call it a tenure, because how can you have a tenure when you haven't even played a single game? But yeah, that's, you know, he was going to be the backup. He's hurt. They did bring in Max Stassi for depth. I don't look at Stassi right now as being a huge upgrade or anything like that. The Giants are light on catching depth right now. And between him being the best defender and, you know, that kind of help again, and like no depth whatsoever, that helps, you know, his quote unquote standing, I guess, because where else are the Giants going to go? Like, where were they going to get it? Are they going to make a trade? I don't know. Like, what do they have to trade? They don't really have any trade assets right now. They're kind of just looking to see, you know, what improvements they can make with the resources that they have, which isn't a lot. And with the MLB draft coming up, and, you know, there's a lot of catching prospects, and I don't know what Buster Posey or the front office's belief is about, you know, Patrick Bailey. I don't know if that's the guy that they think, oh yeah, he's starting catcher material, you know, he's our guy who's going to be our starting catcher. And it just seemed like Bailey, you know, this might be just who he is as a hitter, unfortunately. He has shown offensive potential, you know, especially with his power. So we know that he does have some tools. He can hit better from the left side than he can the right side, but he is very inconsistent in his approach. And when he starts chasing, you know, home runs, he finds himself getting into trouble. So, yeah, I mean, is the solution putting him on, having him hit primarily from the left side? I don't know. I don't know if that helps or not. But he's not giving you anything from an offensive standpoint. And I think that's a problem. And I think that's something that should be addressed, even with how good his defense is. Yes, I know he won us a Gold Glove. And yes, I know he probably has the ability to win more Gold Gloves. But right now, he's not even giving you league average production. And that's not good. Like, that's not good at all. Like, this guy comes up in a situation where the Giants need a run. I just kind of close my eyes and pray. Because it feels like every time, more often than not, he's not going to come through for you. And it has not been ideal situation. And going back to what I said, this draft class, there's a lot of prospects, especially catching prospects. I've heard Luke Stevenson's name. He's been thrown around. Caden Bodine, you know, another one. There's quite a few. If the Giants, you know, are thinking, maybe we should have another, have ourselves a contingency plan in place, you know, in case things don't go well with Bailey and if he continues to struggle. But yeah, I mean, I think that's all I really have to say about Bailey and, you know, his struggles, you know, cover him and Wade. They're kind of the two main ones that have been really bad in this stretch. But the Giants overall haven't been great either as a team. And I think that's why they find themselves in this, you know, this current slump that they've been in. So, like, last night, as I mentioned, they lost to the Rockies. and they lost to Kyle Freeland, who was on the mound for them. The Giants this year, this is weird. So they have a 19-13 record. In those games, when they faced a right-handed hitter, as a right-handed starting pitcher, I should say, they are 17-5. Against lefties, it's a much different story. After last night against left-handers, the Giants are 2-8. 2-8. And despite having like a right-handed heavy lineup whenever they face a lefty, they rank 16th in baseball with a 654 OPS against left-handed pitching. And now, while I think that will improve over time as some guys are getting hot, like some guys have just, you know, they've stayed hot or they've been overall consistent. Jung-Hoo Lee at the top of the list. He's the best hitter on the team. Not far behind him is Mike Yastrzemski. Wilmer Flores comes through, you know, when you need him to. Chapman, you know, he's been up and down. He's right now in the midst of a slump. He started off well, hit a slump, started to heat up again. Now he's back in a funk. And then Elliot Ramos, he's starting to heat up again. He's had some really good at-bats, hit his second home run in as many games. So hopefully that trend continues because Elliot Ramos, who's swinging the bat well, will do wonders for this Giants team. But as far as like overall offense, they're averaging anywhere from 4 to 5 runs a game. They have 94 WRC plus as a team. They're batting 228 as a team, 307 on base, 377 slugging. That's like near the bottom, you know, in those categories. And the most alarming part, at least to me, is the strikeout rate is way up. Like, they have the amongst the highest K rate in the league at, you know, 23%, and the eighth lowest at 9.8. So like that's like 10, like, yeah, like 10%. It has not been good at all overall for the Giants from an offensive standpoint. And I think once they can kind of get that under control and kind of get back to what they were doing on a more consistent basis, and some guys, you know, get hot, they'll definitely have a shot to continue to play well, make a run, and be contenders at this thing. But I think for me, it starts with this offense, because this offense has not been, it's been fun at times, but other times it's been very like lackluster and overall disappointing to see what they do from the offensive perspective. So I think that's all I got on this matter as of now. We'll see if at all the Giants make any kind of significant changes, if they shake up the roster. I think one of the things that they wanted to do more of is to kind of keep most of the team intact, to keep that that camaraderie and that, you know, that closeness that wasn't there prior with the old regime there. But right now you're kind of running into a wall with two particular players who play pretty important positions on the diamond. So that's going to do it for this episode of Second and King. Thank you once again for joining me. Like and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. People, please leave a rating and review. Definitely helps with the podcast and gets the word out, and just continues to help us grow here at Second and King. Got a lot more things that I want to do. Life been life, and so things that I've been planning to do, I haven't quite gotten to yet. But stay tuned and keep your ears close to the podcast, and I'll have some cool things for you guys yet. But again, thank you for joining me on this edition of Second and King. I've been your host, Darius Lott, and as always, go Giants.